Welcome to the doghouse from Soggy Briton.
It feels like Soggy Briton.
I think it's actually soggier here than Briton.
I feel like we're doing this from the lost city of Atlantis while it's underwater.
While it's underwater. I was thinking we moved the show to Seattle for the last month.
It feels like it.
It's been, we've had what, just a couple
you
dry
know,
days
I
in the last
I didn't realize
month?
The doghouse was live from Laconia Bike Week.
Yeah, that's right, where it rains every year.
Where it rains all the time.
Yeah, it's been absolutely horrible. What? And
17 out of the last 19 or 20 days is rain.
In my hometown, it's 18 out of the last 19 days. Yesterday was the first day in 19 days we didn't have any precipitation.
And it started
and
again.
And it started at like 1:30 this morning. Yep. It was only by an hour or an half.
Right. It's been absolutely miserable, and it makes it, you know, I was telling Phil before the show that, you know, I have to like sneak out to mow my lawn before the weather sees me,
yeah,
you know, and get my lawn mowed because I've been a handful of days where you've been able to get out and mow the lawn. And even then the ground's saturated.
So I looked and there's a weather thing saying Thursday and Friday will be dry. And then Saturday, Sunday, yeah, rain again.
But it's got to stop at some point.
My yard, like even walking in my yard in just shoes.
Squish, 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 squish.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I don't even want to drive the tractors out there. The one's only two-wheel drive.
It'll take two weeks of nice weather to get it dry enough to where you can take a tractor out of
it. Well, you know, it'll be like Washington weather, where we always complain, like, it's cool, 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 cool.
And
it's hot as hell. Right, yeah. Bam, and then it's hot as hell.
Heat wave.
So, anyway, but I hope this dries up because I got a...
I got work to do.
I got a vacation coming up actually in the beginning of June, and
where
I
are you
want
going?
To be to the Outer Banks. So
must be nice. If I had your money, I'd burn mine and walk.
That's good.
Well, that's why he's
good.
Going. He's going to the bank.
That's good. You should have my money, Phil. It's called my sister. Okay, you know about that, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So if it wasn't for my sister, it would be no vacation.
I understand.
Yeah, my total expenses.
See, my
is gasoline.
Sister brings work. See, your sister brings vacation. My yeah. sister brings work.
Right. So anyway, but it's been absolutely miserable, and it makes for the weekends have really been horrible. It's
yeah.
just been soggy, nasty, and crazy.
Although I kind of had a cool weekend.
Why?
I went to the vintage races at Summit Point.
Yeah.
Watched a bunch of old race cars and stuff, but there was also a lot of cars,
not drivers.
It was vintage,
vintage drivers too. Okay.
But there was a guy with like an old Trailhawk 50 riding around, checking out the race. A lot of guys with like antique pit bikes.
That's neat.
Riding through the thing. I think I was more impressed.
Did you take some pictures?
I got a couple pictures.
Throw them up on Facebook.
No, I don't want them. They're for me to look at and enjoy.
That's right. Me only.
I got some. I just haven't sorted through my phone. So there was just a lot of guys with like older pit bikes, like 70s and 60s pit bikes.
Oh,
cool.
Those are cool. And that even makes me bitter because it's not bad. It's bad enough these people have these vintage race cars.
Yeah.
They all have these vintage bikes too. Screw them.
Like the guy who pitted across.
You had a vintage helmet, so shut up.
The guy who pitted across from us had that vintage Trailhawk 50.
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, and I'm talking to him, and he's like, yeah, well, I got the. He had a BMW 2000, was it 2002? Is what the model number was on
it. BMW 2000 TII or something like
that.
Yeah,
I think that's an 80s.
I believe so, yes.
Late 70s, early 80s car and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had that, and it was all done. It was done really nice and everything, mm-hmm. you know, and then he's like, yeah, and then I picked up this bike cheap and had my car, and I just wanted to punch him in the face.
Yeah, really. Like,
if he's listening, I want to punch you in the face.
Yeah.
That's just the way I am.
I want to get in line, too.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
But it was kind of cool. I did not make it a VIR for... I think there was something going on there.
For the rain?
For the rain.
Because of rain there, too.
Even God didn't want Josh Hayes to race. Is that what I heard? Allegedly.
Allegedly.
So, Warren, did you do anything? I played video games.
No, because it was halfway decent for part of the weekend, we planted.
Which part of the weekend?
Yeah, I know.
Sunday afternoon.
Decent where you were.
I ended up planting flowers and mowing the lawn and, you know, doing all the household outdoor type activities. I hadn't been able to get to for the
ain't
last month.
You got
month.
A wife?
Yes.
I thought she'd be.
Yeah, shouldn't your wife be planting flowers, not you?
Well, I help.
You helped.
I dig the holes.
You did the easy part, huh? Dig the holes.
He drops sticks of dynamite. Boom!
Right. Yeah.
So. Yeah, I went to Home Depot and got all that stuff. Yeah, you know, just did all the household stuff that I hadn't been able to do.
I did exactly what I did the week before. I continued to work for free. That's what I did. I work for free all weekend.
Ken enjoys working
but
for free.
I'm hoping.
I tell you what. I'm becoming really good at it, Phil.
Well, I'm just glad Bernie Sanders is here to support you.
I'm counting on it. Go, Bernie, go. I'm feeling the burn.
Go. Burn,
feeling
baby, burn.
The burn.
Only one apiece.
That's what I need. I need Bernie. I need Bernie. So
yeah, I'm hoping to get out the ride this coming weekend, but rain. The weather doesn't look like it's going to work either. I just
pulled up the weather
forecast. Because there's supposed to be a vintage motorcycle convention somewhere up in Maryland this week, and I was planning to ride
it. It's the big British
and European bike event.
But that's going to probably get rained out.
Yeah. I would count on it. I think it's gonna stop raining just before Memorial Day. That's my prediction. It's gonna rain.
Isn't
till
that
then.
This weekend?
No,
next weekend. That's
well, following weekend. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
my prediction.
Unfortunately, so, you're probably right. Maybe even last longer than that.
I hope not, because I've got someplace to be starting in June. So.
Well, you know, that's much further south than here, so, you know, that weather anomaly that's...
Has it only been raining in the northeast?
Well, is this right now...
No, all across the...
East half of the country, yeah. Right?
Well, mostly up in this area. I mean, the south has not got a lot as much as we have.
Right.
I think most of the south's got... Well, southwest, like Texas and... Nashville and
Texas
Louisville.
Got, man, all this flooding in Texas.
Yeah,
right?
I was gonna say anything that
they
starts
try it
in
out
Texas
on,
and co-
see
between us and Texas gets all the stuff.
The good thing is the weather gods try weather systems out on Texas first and then send them here.
So. Oh, this weekend is also the Some Gave All ride on Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah,
I forgot all about that. I feel bad about that.
I haven't heard anything about it. This is the first I've heard of it. It's been really pretty
quiet.
Yeah,
I posted some stuff up on Facebook about it, and then I've been meaning to mention it on the show, and it just has been slipping my mind. When he said the British Bike Show, I said, man, that's usually the same day as Some Gave All. That's why I haven't made it.
Right.
It is the 10th anniversary of the Some Gave All ride.
Hmm. So, man, how hopefully time flies. It'll get maybe. But do they cancel that one for rain, or they go period?
Because they haven't had that problem yet.
Well,
we had one time where it was raining early that morning, but it dried out before it stopped raining at like 6 a.m. and everybody went to it. So we really haven't had that problem. I am not seeing. It says rain or shine right here on the flyer.
Here you go.
So the Some Gave All ride in Fredericksburg, Spotsylvania, so that's at the Spotsylvania High School, is this weekend, rain or shine. So that's somegiveall.org if you're in the area and you want to go.
Yep.
Just figured I would throw that out.
It's a good event.
It's a great event for a great charity.
Yes, it is.
They give all the money there that goes to something useful. They support a whole bunch of good youth veterans.
We went
organizations.
What, 2 years ago? Was it 2 years ago?
2 years ago, we all kind of went.
Right.
And I've gone to every year, but last year I've gone to.
Yeah.
Last year was the first year I missed because we were at VIR.
We were at VIR, right, yeah.
Yeah, because VIR for Moto America, the dying series here in America. Oh, was that out loud?
He needs to stop that.
I know.
Why? They don't listen to anything we say when we give them good ideas. Maybe they'll listen to me when I'm negative.
Well, just leave your clothes on.
I think we were pretty negative when we were there last year.
Yeah, you know, are we? Right? You know, maybe we
maybe you should try positive reinforcement.
Well, I was thinking we should hire a publicist that can translate our negativity into positivity.
That's not a bad thing. Let's try that. You go ahead and give me a negative statement. About the race.
About VIR?
It was very wet.
It was a beautiful day.
Millions of people watched it.
Millions? That's not negative.
It's not true either.
You're supposed to be saying something negative.
Oh, negative.
False.
Josh Hayes won a race.
Cam Bouvier won.
Okay.
I'm translating to things people want to hear.
Yes. At least in this room.
Anyway.
Anyway.
All right. Well, we're getting ready to head out to our break. Warren, you want to give us a little bit of a teaser on what's coming up on the other side?
A shooting star is burning out.
A shooting star is burning out. That's like a Carnac question.
Yeah, now give me the answer.
A shooting star is burning out. What is global warming?
That's a great teaser. No one's going to want to not be here for that. Let's check out what the hell that means when we get back.
Warren Distrucks.
right, folks, welcome back to the Doghouse. Even though you were only gone for 2.5 seconds,
no.
I always like to mess with the voice like that.
We'll be back in a few minutes, you always say.
One day I'm going to put the few minutes in just to piss everybody off.
Yeah, right. Right.
I think I'm going to make a loop of Warren saying, we'll be back in a few minutes.
I think you should. One time you should just leave the mics on and let us think the music's playing in there and record one of our conversations. I think
I did that last week.
I think our conversations we have off the show are better than the show.
The problem with that is all the editing I have to go back and do because I curse too much.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and then we also talk bad about people that aren't here.
Oh, we don't do that on the show at all.
No.
That's never happened.
That never happened.
Never.
Then we'd give away the good parts of the show.
We only talk bad about the people we like on the show.
Maybe that's what we should do. Maybe I should record the whole show, leave the mics hot, and if you sign up to do Patreon, we'll send you the whole show and you can hear the off-air stuff.
And how do you spell Patreon, Ken?
Yeah, without any editing.
Without any
editing. That is patreon.com/NTN.
Yeah, right? Is that not a bad idea?
Yeah, I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning, but you see, I can always spit that Patreon thing out.
I wanted to plug the
phone. I don't know where that comes from. Anyway.
All right, well, when we went to break, I said we were going to talk about a shooting star burning out.
Yes.
Well, are we talking Johnny Rockpage?
No.
You have to be a shooting star, you have to, at some point,
been a
shot.
Okay. Well, see, I didn't know about this guy until you guys mentioned him a couple weeks ago, so is he a burning out or burnt out? I mean, that's two different things.
Or was never on.
Johnny Rockpage? Did you see he got arrested this week?
For impersonating what? An intelligent person?
No, I don't remember. That's how important
I shouldn't say bad things about Johnny Rockpage. I say these things because I'm very envious that he jumped on the mobile ATM kiosk thing in the early days when we weren't quite seeing him in 7-Elevens, things like that, and he made millions of dollars doing that.
Go ahead, Warren.
I didn't know that, but I'm envious now, too.
Okay, here we go.
How do you think you get to race when you don't have any talent? No, never mind. Let's move on.
Do not get him started again.
It says, Moto America Superbike racer Johnny Rockpage, only a couple years older than Josh Hayes, mm-hmm. so he's 47, mm-hmm. was arrested early Monday morning in May 12th in Tempe, Arizona, according to his booking photo on the website of the Maricopa County Sheriff's Department.
Not a good county to be screwing up in.
No.
Page was arrested and booked on the charge of unlawful flight from a law enforcement vehicle. So he was trying to get a Moto 2 ride. It worked for Danny Exler.
Now he's going to be wearing pink pajamas.
Well, you notice, just like in Moto America, he got caught.
So the cops passed him and waited for. Here we go.
Anybody
he'll be here in a few minutes. Just pull over. He'll be here.
How could he run? I mean, the cop was probably like, yeah, no worries. We'll catch him by turn one.
It's the first. It's probably the first time a cop has ever lapped somebody he was pulling over.
I'm sorry.
All right, back
Warren,
to the
I
news.
Mean to hijack your stuff.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Back to the news. Well, Yamaha created the Star motorcycle brand about 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it had been that long.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't realize it had been that long. I thought it was like maybe 12, 15 years ago at the tops.
At tops, yeah. I was thinking closer to 10, actually.
No, it was the end of the 90s. I guess that was middle of the 90s.
It would have had to have been the middle of the 90s, yeah.
Okay.
So almost, it says about 20 years ago to attract the U.S. customers because for whatever reason, Yamaha thought that Americans didn't want to buy Japanese bikes.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's what it is. I think the thing about it is they see in America that cruisers kind of have dominated the marketplace, right?
Quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, right.
And so they bought it. They had these cruisers. They were badged as Yamahas, mm-hmm. but for whatever reason, they decided to rebadge them as Star Motorcycles.
Yes.
And launch a Star Motorcycles line.
Because Star doesn't sound like Yamaha.
No.
Yeah, because okay? Right, because it doesn't sound like we bombed them in the big war.
But the same bikes that sold a Star here in the United States and Canada were also sold overseas as Yamaha. So it was the same bikes.
That's right, where they're not racist like we are.
Right. Supposedly, which I find offensive. Yamaha offended me with this.
Probably because they didn't actually drop a bomb on Hiroshima in Europe, so... They don't...
Well, Hiroshima's not in Europe.
No, the Europeans did not drop a bomb on Hiroshima.
Whoa. We didn't bomb the Germans?
Not with a nuclear bomb.
After they attacked Pearl Harbor?
No, they quit too quick.
Oh, that's right.
Well, Yamaha's decided they no longer need the Star brand, so they have already, and I just checked this today, they've already started rolling it up inside the Yamaha moniker.
So you go they're going to keep all the models that they have?
They're going to keep the models, but they're going to rebrand them, or, you know, not rebrand them as
In other words, they're saving money by not having two different logos.
And two different websites.
Manufacturing companies pumping out their logo stuff.
Well, and it's probably also a dealer issue, because not all Yamaha dealers sell the
Stars, and not all the Star dealers sell Yamaha. Right. So I'm kind of curious about that.
I actually like the Star, the Bolt. I actually like that bike.
You mean the Sportster?
Yeah, the Sportster.
Yamaha Sportster.
But I like the look of it. You know, I think it's better looking than a Sportster, in my opinion, the Bolt.
It looks exactly the same.
I don't think so. To me, it looks different. Well, looks less Harley-like.
You're crazy.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Ken on that.
They've already started to do the convergence with the websites. If you go to Star, you end up on a Yamaha website, and you'll see that Yamaha bikes are displayed right along the Star bikes. So you'll see that the Stratoliner and the Roadliner and the V-Star, the Striker, the Bolt, etc., are all showing up as Yamaha bikes now.
All kinds of Bernie Sanders faithful right now that are really pissed off to find out that they've been hiding. Star's been hiding this all this time that they've had Yamaha bikes.
Here's what,
because they ain't very bright.
Here's what's even the bigger surprise to me is that there's like 15 different types of Star motorcycles.
Yeah,
I always just think the Bolt and
the Stratoliner, which is the top of the line Star bike, is actually pretty nice.
Well, you know, here's the
thing. Would you buy one?
Here's
the thing I will tell you.
If they're bad, I'll tell you, but they're nice bikes.
I can tell you from personal experience that I know this from running a motorcycle shop, they are outstandingly reliable motorcycles, the Stars. They were of cruiser bikes, they are, I say, better than the Hondas as far as reliability goes. They've been like just absolutely solid bikes.
Well, we have an article coming up that will actually discuss some of that in a few minutes.
Hey, Ken, before the show, Warren said something to me. I was talking about we were talking about those guys, 50 at 50.
Yes.
The three guys from England who were riding across US 50 on their 50th birthday. Oh. Right? And I said, you know,
I was kind of hoping that meant something else, but anyway.
some touring company should, you know, have a guided ride. And I was like, oh, but, you know, bikers don't really like guided rides. And Warren goes, well, what's the ride you're doing coming up?
National Hog Ride.
The National Hog Ride is doing a guided ride. And I was like, well, obviously, because nobody's GPS would be right. Yeah.
They'll all get lost.
Yeah, they'll all end up 3 miles from where they should be.
I can't say that's a lie.
I'm sorry, Warren.
I hate you, Phil.
I know.
Well, in other news, BMW is coming out with a new safety feature for their motorcycles that I'm surprised that no one had done so far.
Please tell me it's the ejection seat.
No.
Okay. Sorry. No.
It's you've heard of OnStar?
Yeah.
Well, it's OnStar for motorcycles. Emergency call system that, you know, in case you crash, wreck, or, you know, need help, you can get that automatically.
Okay. I mean, hasn't OnStar on the GM products been sort of a big bust?
Oh, no, they make big bank on that.
Well, I didn't say not moneymaker. You know, I think as far as adoption, because I had it in a vehicle
I have it in both my trucks.
Yeah. And you don't subscribe to it, right? You just take the default one, right?
Well, you don't buy the default one is the emergency that you don't have to subscribe for that. But I actually still put the minutes on my phone on the trucks.
Do you really?
Well, because
it's outrageously expensive what they charge.
It is.
Yeah.
But for $120, I can buy 90 minutes of talk time.
That's
right? Which is a ripoff. I almost said a raping. Yeah. But it's a ripoff.
It's pretty close to it.
But what I've noticed is there's a lot of places in the mountains where my cell phone will drop, but my OnStar calls won't.
Okay.
So if I'm in an emergency or there's something big going on, it's a way to call me, or I can call out that doesn't rely on my cell. It's because it's satellite, it doesn't rely on the cell towers.
Okay. I thought it still
used it kind of as a satellite phone.
I thought it still uses the cell phone towers.
No. Mine doesn't. Okay. Mine use satellite.
Well, the BMW for motorcycles is going to use the cellular technology.
Then I would not be all about it. Because there's a lot of places you ride that you drive.
You're not going to have it.
Well, yes. I mean, your whole home state, West Virginia, yeah. I think I get cell phone service
well,
like
well,
three
if you
miles.
Look at one of the commercials on the map.
I was 3 miles into, cell phone, into West Virginia this week. I had no cell service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You look at those maps, they show all the cell coverage. There's always a big West Virginia-shaped hole on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the system uses a GPS to locate the motorcycle and has a dedicated cellular connection to contact BMW's emergency call center and initiate a rescue chain. The call is made automatically if sensors detect a high-speed crash with a loudspeaker and a microphone built into the handlebars used to establish contact with the rider. Of course, if you're in a high-speed crash, you may not be able to talk to them.
Or you won't be anywhere near your bike.
That's quite
like,
good.
Does it like detach and slide with you?
Yeah, you'd be screaming, OnStar! OnStar!
Take me away!
And then it's going to come back and say, signal lost.
Yeah. All right. It's going to be, are you okay? What? I can't hear you. Are you okay?
You got to do that with a German accent.
Speak up!
Yeah, speak up.
That's wrong!
Get closer to the microphone!
What's wrong?
If a minor fall or collision is detected, the system will trigger after 25 seconds, with the riders able to cancel the call if no assistance is needed. So if you just drop your bike in a parking lot, mm-hmm. you got 25 seconds to hit the button.
Or it blows up.
At the end of this recording, it will self-destruct.
Or it conquers. If you don't answer in 25 seconds, it conquers France.
Probably, yeah. Probably go, you go over a speed bump, it probably triggers. You got 25 seconds.
Well, 24. You do 24. Have it. Yeah, if you hit a really hard speed bump, that could make it seem like it could be a crash.
Yeah.
I've hit some potholes that have scared the crap out of me. The system also can be manually triggered at the press of a button, with BMW suggesting that a rider use this to call for help for other road emergencies. Of course, if I
help, my GPS is taking me 3 miles from where I want to be.
Or if you see you're going to hit a car, I guess you can hit the button in advance. And
yeah, right.
The company points out in a recent EU report showed that call systems like this, OnStar, etc., get responders to the scene of a crash 40 to 50% faster, thus saving more lives.
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah, Phil says it is.
If there's a cell phone signal.
If right? there's a cell
well,
phone
that,
signal.
Right. That, the one thing I don't like about that setup is that it's cell phone. I mean, the satellite with
if,
the OnStar
if,
picks
if,
up
if
all
you
over
live,
the place.
You live that far away from a population center.
You deserve to die.
You deserve to die.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Wait, I live that far from... Thanks, guys.
You live in a house that could collapse on you at any time, Phil. Come on.
Yeah, but luckily
you need to carry one of those medical alerts that the house is falling and I can't get up.
Right, yeah.
You know, I was actually thinking of setting up a tent in my living room.
Just in case?
Just in case the roof collapsed.
Yeah.
I figured the tent would be stronger than the wood.
The roof would come down and then Phil would be smothered by the tent. Right?
Suffocation.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so this is coming out as an option for all European BMW motorcycles for 2017.
That's why they don't get satellites over there.
Yeah.
They don't get satellites in Europe.
But they have good cell phone reception because Europe's like, what, the size of Maryland?
Yeah.
Not much more. Anyway, but I imagine you expect to see that coming out on BMW bikes, maybe as a standard in a few years on the higher-end bikes, eventually it'll trickle down to all their bikes, and I can also see other competitors, Indian, Harley, Yamaha, adapt stuff like this in the future as well, at least as an option.
I read several years ago that, even though GM's and OnStar and the OnStar affiliates made good money from it, it's because of the outrageous prices they take, they charge, but that I don't think the adoption rate, the majority of people they say who get OnStar take the, that you get like a year.
Yeah,
with
you get a year
view.
Free. Right. And $30 a month wasn't worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. And
especially what was worth it when it first came out is the turn-by-turn directions.
Right.
Like you could tell them where you were going and they would literally say, your turn's coming up in 30 seconds, your turn's coming up, whatever.
Yeah, right.
You know,
you can get an $80 GPS
right,
to do that now.
You can get
now.
An $80 GPS for that.
Your phone can do that for free.
Right, your phone can do that.
Right.
I used to use, I'm such a scumbag, right? I used to use the concierge service on my OnStar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would sign up, I'd call up, I'd be like, yeah, I want to add the extreme package, which was like $40 for the month. And then I'd call up and I'd get like hotel reservations for the discounts mm-hmm. and concert tickets or football game tickets or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I would call up the day after the event
and cancel it.
Yeah. So I paid $20 extra, but I got tickets that were sold out.
Yeah.
Look at you.
You know.
Yeah.
Allegedly doing things that are...
You're one of those guys.
I'm one of those guys.
You're one of those guys who buys a 60-inch TV before the Super Bowl and takes it back the day after.
That's a genius idea.
Billy Phil's writing this down now.
Why am I only finding out about this now, Ken?
Well, you know, some places you can get it for a month. So there's a lot of Yankees games you could watch in a month.
That is true. I'm like, I might do that for the World Series if the Yankees are in it.
And when we get back, we're going to talk about Pied Piper. And if you reach back a whole year from now... We talked about Pied Piper then, too.
Pied Piper. That show's funny. Silicon Valley.
Yeah, Silicon Valley. That's right.
All right, guys. Folks, about a year ago, we talked about Pied Piper and their prospect satisfaction index of how motorcycle dealerships perform. Remember that?
I don't remember this.
You ridiculed me, so you should.
I think
Pied Piper, I think Silicon Valley.
That's my problem. I think because of the name, I think Silicon Valley too. So, but anyway.
Well, anyway,
I vaguely remember it.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about how, you know, the best dealerships of last year was Ducati. Mm-hmm. And Harley was number two. Well, nothing changed in the last year.
I remember this.
Ducati is still number one, and Harley-Davidson is now tied for number two because Victory moved up.
Yeah, moving on up.
Victory moved up four spots from the previous year, which was pretty amazing.
Right. This is strictly a rating of their deal of a dealer
of the dealership's
rating.
Performance. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So if you're not familiar with Pied Piper, the company's prospect satisfaction index. It's sort of a consumer reports of dealership network experience, and they say act as a bellwether of how the brand performs while facing the consumer.
I got a question for you. If it's just, I mean, I don't want to dispute the study. I mean, it is what it is. But the thing that surprises me about the whole thing is, and I can't speak to Ducati, but there are. I'm actually surprised that Harley came in number two, and the reason I say that. Is because of all the independent motorcycle companies in the United States, something like 2/3 of them are American V-twins, the independents. And they do
at least.
Right, and they do that because of dissatisfaction with Harley dealers.
Yeah, but people that fill out the surveys and stuff like that are usually not, you know...
They're the guys that are married to the Harley dealer,
right,
like,
guys like
somebody
Warren.
We know.
They're the Warren. You know, well, I'm sure Warren filled it out four times.
No, I didn't. I wasn't part of the process.
One dealership he got within 3 miles of.
Well, the Pied Piper folks take into account a mixture of mystery shopper experiences. That would actually be a pretty cool job, I think. Along with actual sales success of each brand and using a mixture of subjective and objective measurements, come up with this list.
How do you mystery shop for a motorcycle repair?
Right. Here's a cool job. Go break your bike.
Yeah, go break
Take it to a bunch of people you don't know.
Yeah.
Don't take it to your local dealership.
No, this is all about dealers, so it wouldn't be the local shops.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
The point is to have anything to judge whether a dealership was doing its job or not, you'd have to have motorcycles that
maybe
have
they bring you. Maybe they as part of the mystery shopper deal, you get the broken bike.
No, because first thing every dealership does? It pulls up the bike history by running the VIN number.
That's true.
What are they going to do? Go back and fudge all that history?
No, I don't know how you can do that.
No, they just like call you up. They're like, look, you've had a Harley for 3 years. We know it's about to blow up.
Here's how to break your bike. Follow these instructions.
Ride more than 10 miles. Oh,
that's a report.
Sorry.
Now, what Ducati is focusing on in this, as one of the results of this study, they've realized that Ducati is focusing on pushing dealerships into single-line businesses, so they only sell Ducatis, for example.
Yes, that's true. They started that a while back.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. And it's becoming more successful, which gives them a better view of the survey. So if you're a single brand dealer, you get a better turnout on this because you're only competing against yourself.
It's also the riskiest way for a dealership to set itself up.
Right. Because especially for smaller brands.
Harley started that a long time ago. Yeah. I mean, there's very few, but there are still a few dealers that sell more than Harley.
There's
a couple of them that I know very well, but now you can't no more. I mean,
a new one's not going to have a multi-dealer.
Well, not for the last 20 years. In the last 20 years, they wouldn't allow.
Speaking of Harley Davidson dealerships and the people around the country, this means nothing. But did you know why Harley sold? It was like Virginia's oldest Harley dealership.
Yeah, they're now Stonewall.
They're now Stonewall? Yeah. I didn't know they used
to sell. I didn't know that either, but I mean, sooner or later they all sell.
Yeah, Big Daddy decided he wanted to retire, and I don't know if the son wanted to keep it or not, but they sold it.
I'm surprised because the son and the daughter both worked there.
Yeah. I think the son was general manager.
But the son's probably in his 60s.
Yeah, I would say so.
Because old man Wall had to be in his... He was in his 80s when I met him almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, I agree. And
still rides to Daytona every year.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the story. Ducati's unit sales have been increasing year over year, primarily due to the Scrambler.
The Scrambler is definitely one. I mean, the naked bikes all drive their sales. You know, they're big numbers.
Yeah, and because of those sales, it's helped keep them in the number one position because, as you mentioned, it has to do with sales and then mystery experience and all the other things they put into that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very small community, though. That's the thing. I mean, the Ducati community is a very small community.
What really bothers me when they try to pitch Ducati into a single dealership to where you're only selling Ducatis.
That's what I'm saying.
It's going to be tough for them.
I know of a few, but, I mean, it's you're right. It's tough. I mean, just having that single marquee is tough, you know? I mean, so... Next year, then.
Unless they're making a hell of an overhead on the bike.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Some models are pretty pricey. Right.
I bet you the Scrambler's got a premium price on it a little bit. Even though it's still not that expensive.
No, it was like 13 grand.
Less than that.
It's less than that. It's around 10.
Around 10, yeah.
But I think when it first came out, it was like 7. So it's went up a little bit.
Yeah, it's going up some.
But one of the bikes that appeared on this year's study that wasn't on last year was Zero. And they actually did fairly well. You know, Zero...
Because the dealerships only have two transactions they do. Change the battery and take your money. Okay?
Well, they might change your tires every now and then.
Why would you go to a Zero dealer to...
It's under warranty. I don't know.
Tires under warranty? Okay.
Zero motorcycle dealers are most likely to offer test rides and go over the unique features of their machines. We're also more likely to recommend another brand to would-be buyers. That's surprising. The latter being an interesting critique of the brand. So I'm going to go over some of the pluses and minuses of the different brands. Mm-hmm. So as we know, Ducati was number one. Harley and Victory both tied for second. Harley actually picked up a couple points, and Victory gained 4. BMW is in fourth place.
Mm-hmm. That's not surprising.
No,
BMW dealers have pretty good reputations.
Yeah. Polaris was next with no change from last year. They're in the same place. Mm-hmm. Indian moved up 10 spots.
Wow. Well, it probably wasn't enough to get...
Right, I was going to say, last year, what were there, 3 Indian dealers?
So they had really good sales this year.
They did.
Yeah. Followed by Zero. And that's where you hit the industry average. So if you scored these out, Ducati had 116 points. The industry average was 109 points. So now we're getting into the bottom half of the industry.
Who had the lowest?
I'm getting to that.
You're killing me.
Yeah. Impatient.
Aprilia, Triumph, and Moto Guzzi all were kind of close together at 107 and 106.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Still below industry average, but, you know.
But not far below.
No. Then you start getting into Can-Am, Envy Agusta, Suzuki, Star, and Honda all tied at 104 points each.
The Honda surprised me. Well, it surprises me a little bit, but okay.
And Honda gained five points.
This is a dealer rating.
Yes, not the bike rating.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of those makes in there are combined. They're not just Honda. So you get smacked because, like, right here, close to where the studio is, we got a Honda Kawasaki Suzuki dealer. So three complete different manufacturers.
And I think that's why you see them all grouped there together because, you know, 104 points, Suzuki, Honda, Suzuki, Honda, Kawasaki, and Yamaha are all separated by less than, 5 points.
Right.
So that's probably because there are so many combined dealers.
Mm-hmm.
After Honda was Kawasaki, Yamaha, KTM with 97 points, and Husqvarna was last.
All three Husqvarna dealers.
All three of them, yeah.
In the country.
Are there that many?
I don't even know.
They scored 94 points, well below the average.
But the thing about it is that here's the problem. The more dealers you have, the better your ranking is going to be.
Because you're selling more bikes.
The more dealers you got, the more chance you have for positive reputations, right, to balance out the negative ones.
Yes.
But if you're like Husqvarna, where you only have a handful of dealers.
If you had three dealers and two of them are crappy.
You look like hell, right? You look like hell, and it's not really a fair rating, but it is.
Life isn't fair, Bernie.
That's true. Send me money.
But overall, I think it's pretty much the same as last year. So it shows that the dealerships are at least maintaining what their appearances are.
Yeah, it doesn't mean much, right? Because it only matters what your experience is, right?
That's right.
I don't know.
Ken who consults people's reviews all the time before doing anything. I read all these reviews. I did all this.
That is true. I don't read every review before I buy anything. But I wouldn't do that. I mean, for a dealership, I don't know. That's kind of tough. It's like anything else. They only publish a lot of these reviews, online reviews, are paid anyway. So
unfortunately, yeah. Well, I'm going to move on to my last story, and this was going to go back to the heyday of Evel Knievel and bring it up to modern times.
The heyday of Evel Knievel?
Yes.
Okay. When he was alive, you mean?
When he was alive.
Yeah, because not so much hay these days, unless you're growing it.
Well, he tried to jump the Snake River Canyon, as we all know, and on a purpose-built...
I don't like the term, jump the Snake River Canyon.
He wanted to fly over it.
Yeah, that's better.
So he was going to take the SkyCycle X2 in 1974. I didn't realize it was that long ago.
A cycle with no wheels. It was a rocket on a track.
That's true.
Yep.
And it was steam powered at that.
Yeah, not cycle. I think it was peroxide powered.
No, it was steam powered.
I thought it had a peroxide.
No, it's in here in the article, and the guys...
That makes it true.
Yeah.
You read it on the internet, right?
Abe
Lincoln told me only 90% of what you read on the internet is true. Right.
Well, that's because he killed all the vampires.
The only more accurate than the internet hole is any wiki that anybody has out there.
Yeah. Well, Scott Truex was just 6 years old when Evel Knievel tried to jump the Snake River Canyon.
I thought he was the scientist that led the thing up.
That was his father.
Ah!
Now, see, I'm bringing it up to modern times here.
It's all coming together.
Yes, it's coming together. For Truex, the failure hit home as his father, former Navy engineer Robert Truex. See, there you go. Designed a steam-powered rocket. See? Told you it was steam-powered.
Yep. Yeah, steam doesn't have to be water-based. You do realize that, right? Lots of things...
Steam is water-based.
Yeah, in some form or another,
Yeah, right.
Robert Truex found himself ridiculed by many, including Knievel himself, after the rocket sailed down into the river. But a lot of people don't realize, and this is a true fact, because I've heard it multiple times, so it makes it true.
Is that Evel Knievel had too many Five Guys before he tried to jump, and that's why it didn't go.
Well, that could be too, but he actually did make it across the river, but the wind blew him back into it. So physically, he actually was across, but he didn't end up landing there, so he was a failure.
I completely disagree with that. Okay, but anyway. I think that's total BS. His parachute was out on the rocket thing,
Before it cleared the ramp, it was already
off.
There's
no way he had enough velocity to get across the canyon.
Wussy.
Yeah.
Now Scott, the son, is 48 years old and looking to redeem his family's name in the history books. With his father passing away in 2010 and Evel Knievel dying in 2007, Truax looks to set it to recreate the stunt over the famous river later this year. He initially planned to do it in 2014, but there was money issues and he couldn't do it. So hopefully in 2016 he'll be able to do it.
Here's how you recreate it. You change your name to Robbie Madison, and then Red Bull just makes it rain millions on you.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And you just build an invisible bridge to ride across.
Yeah.
Because Red Bull will throw you $200 million.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's actually not a bad idea.
No, I am. Red Bull will definitely do it. You don't even need Robbie Madison, but he seems like an obvious candidate because
I didn't say you need Robbie. You just need to change your name.
Well, if you put Robbie Madison in the sky cycle, it would definitely do it.
Red Bull would probably give me $30 million to do it. Red Bull will give Robbie Madison $500 million.
Yeah, but I mean, they did that whole thing with the guy jumping, parachuting from space, right? And I think you do anything that's wild enough.
Yeah, but Joe Kittinger did that back in the '50s when men could do that. You never heard of Joe Kittinger?
No, I don't think. And he was in space in the '50s.
He has the world's record for the highest jump out of a balloon by parachute dive. He free fell, and they think he broke the speed of sound free falling. Well, it was like 101,000 feet.
Some guy did that just a few years ago.
No, that guy only jumped from like 84,000 feet. The guy in the 50s did it in the...
They said it... Philip, they actually said it's a record.
No.
Maybe nobody ever proved that Kittinger, what he did was...
He has it all on video.
They had video in the 50s?
The 50s?
Yeah. That must have been one hell of a camera.
Was that the first GoPro?
It was the government. You know, they got that stuff.
It was the alien technologies from Roswell.
What was he jumping out of, a plane that blew up?
No, a balloon.
I'd never heard of this before.
I haven't either.
Well, while he's looking it up, I'm going to continue with the
I cannot believe you guys.
Scott Truex
Joseph
story.
Kittinger. Go ahead. Continue with your story, then I'll give you a history.
So Scott Truex has been working with his father, and he said this was the most fun he'd ever had was as a kid was building this rocket with his dad. He said that Knievel initially wanted to attempt a stunt on a motorcycle, but his father talked him into doing it in a rocket because he knew the motorcycle would never make it.
Okay, like the rocket did. Okay.
Well, I think the rocket had a lot better chance than a motorcycle.
Red Bull did beat him by like a tenth of a mile.
Okay.
See, we were right. He was
wrong.
But
he did this in the
50s.
Can you say you were wrong, Phil?
No. He did it in 1960. He did 19 miles.
Before they started keeping records. Okay.
Before they knew where space was.
That's right.
Now, according to this, to Robert Truex's credit, the rocket did make it over the canyon, but then sailed back towards the river when the wind caught the parachute in midair.
BS.
The New Yorker adds that since there was only one parachute, they had never tested it beforehand for risk of damaging the parachute. That was a failure to plan right there.
Yeah, and supposedly there was a lever in there to deploy the chute, right?
Well, from what I understand, he had to hold
the lever back.
And then the G-forces caused him to let go, which I can imagine that thing took
the
off.
The G-forces would pull you back into the seat, not push you forward.
You didn't have to push it forward. It was spring. So if you let go of it, it was going to deploy.
The G-forces put back and he let go of it.
Whatever. I mean, that's what the story
Intentional?
Goes.
Intentional? Perhaps.
Perhaps. He said, after the economic crash of 2008, Truex left his custom home building business and moved to Twin Falls.
Oh, he's a natural for this project then.
Where the stunt had taken place.
Kitchen cabinets or rockets? I mean, they're all the same.
He has started a Facebook page.
Close one door, you close them all.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. He started a Facebook page called Return to Snake River, which attracted attention to stuntman Addie Bond, who I looked up. He just done some pretty good stunts. The two have been working hand in hand.
Danger Dave? Is that Danger Dave? Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
No, not Danger Dave.
Okay, well.
They spent about $1.5 million to get the project back in the air. This time, they're going to have multiple parachutes.
Yeah, because parachutes
they don't want to go
far. Yeah, because their last time the problem was parachutes. They need more parachutes, not more rocket.
Listen, who cares? As long as you're making the money.
I thought Robbie Knievel was going to do this. We had a story about that a few years ago.
But then he realized how much you hate him and would never get pressed.
Yeah, because we control that.
We do control that.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Unless Phil's going to tell us more about jumping out of a.
Joe Kittinger, man. The rest of us, we're just not.
So technically, you're saying he was the first man in space.
He was the first man, I guess so. He jumped 19 kilometers. Right, where is it?
What's that in Manly Mouse?
I'm sorry. He rode the balloon up to 102,800 feet.
Okay.
And jumped out. It was the Excelsior Project.
Was he intending to jump out, or did the balloon get away from him?
No, he jumped out and he videotaped it.
How did he videotape it?
He had a big ass camera. They got pictures. The whole video is up on YouTube.
Super 8.
Must have been a movie. Must have been like
movie.
Super 8.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay. Movie tape.
Okay. Super 8.
Okay, that makes more
sense.
You know,
9mm or whatever that was.
Okay.
So he jumped out, and then it wasn't broken until he was in 84 years old, where he participated in the Red Bull Stratus project as a capsule communicator with Felix Bart Baumgartner. who broke the record
right.
by going 24 miles where he did 19 miles. I'm sorry. There we go.
Okay.
I have it all pulled up. But he jumped. That was in the that was before people knew what space was. They didn't know if parachutes worked back then.
No, I don't even know how they knew what kind of suit he would need for that, because that was a big deal in the Red Bull jump, you know, was the special suit.
Well, they obviously they consulted him. They're like, dude, you survived. And he was probably like, no, I should do three minutes.
You're right.
Going to screw me up, but yeah, I'm okay.
Well,
all right,
making
folks.
Fun of the guy.
When we get back,
at 84, he probably still tossed me a beat.
He just don't want
to
leave.
I don't want to listen to you.
That's obvious. But when we get back, we're going to listen to Phil talk about racing.
World Superbike, at least.
Well, we'll talk a little Moto America.
Yeah, we should talk a little.
Yeah, we will. We're going to give them good.
Maybe somebody watch.
We're going to talk some news.
Oh, we got a bunch of silly season news that I was right and wrong on.
And Ken was right. Ken was very.
Phil was right on a lot too.
Oh, I doubt that.
Uh huh. And I got a little other rumor silly season stuff.
Good.
Got a big rumor. Rumor mail. I love the rumor mail. Back here on the Doghouse on ntnradio.com. See, I threw that in.
That's good. Somebody should. Because God knows when we do, it makes a big difference. It
makes a huge difference because all you people hit the website so much.
Oh, it's
the web traffic is just so out there.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Inconceivable.
It's inconceivable.
And it's transparent. We're going to be the most transparent podcast ever.
Well, then, if that's the case, then I just want to ride.com with the number two.
Wait. Oh, that guy hasn't paid his sponsorship bill this week yet. I had to buy my own lunch.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, Ken, did you have to buy your own dinner?
Technically, he has. Yes, right. I did have to buy my own dinner.
He did pay. All right. We'll let him plug. I just want two rides.
That would be a suit.
And two, it's not the number two. It's T-O-O.
No, it's the number two.
It's the number two.
I just want number two.
Isn't there like two underscores in there somewhere?
No.
Dot?
Nope. You're all crazy.
Yeah, okay.
I allegedly might be crazy.
Okay.
So this week... we'll talk a little Moto America, and then we'll get into Silly Season, and then World Superbike, right?
Okay.
This weekend, Moto America was down at VIR, Soggy VIR.
Virginia International Raceway, for those who don't know what VIR
is. I'm sorry. If you don't know what VIR is, look it up.
because you're already on the internet, for Christ's sake.
That's right. You know? You have the interwebs.
That's right.
So they had the races down there. A little bit of questionable weather. They had a storm blow through, wrecked the Yamaha tent.
Yep.
Because God doesn't like Josh Hayes.
They had one day of decent weather.
They did.
And one day of just a crappy burst of weather that came through.
Yeah.
You know.
So it wasn't horrible weather. Mm-hmm. But it
was pretty bad from what I saw.
I wasn't there.
Yeah, I got to see race two because of the bean. I don't know what happened. But, it was wet.
It looked pretty damn wet.
It was wet.
Yeah.
They had a lot of crashes. Everything I saw was crashes in all of them. And then they had one of the coolest things where a guy crashed into some girl.
Yeah.
She grabbed his bike and rode it into pit lane, ghost rode it into pit lane.
He got up
and he was looking for his bike. He's like, where the hell my bike go?
It was stolen.
He had a long walk, too.
She's like, he's going to pass me. It's fast. She should have came off on his bike in the pits, really.
Was he a lap ahead of her? Maybe she just wanted the points.
Oh, drop it off and then cross the start finish line first. That would be awesome. Yeah. If that's the case,
well, she did finish
awesome.
The race and he didn't. So.
That's right. Yeah.
Good for her. So they had the. I'm trying to think of what classes they have there. So they had Super Sport, which was
be absolutely dominated by Garrett Gerloff. He is absolutely dominating that series.
Yeah, which is kind of surprising because I thought after the season he had last year, I thought JD Beach would be stronger.
JD Beach is still strong. There's no question about it. He's still strong, but Garrett Gerloff's just like, he just seems like he's kicked it up a few.
It's almost a shame there's not a Yamaha for him to move up to.
Yeah, there might be.
One can only dream.
There might be, or there might be another bike out there. You know, the guy that I had the highest expectations moving up to Superbike this year was Jake Gagne. So I don't know. You know, there might be seats available for Gerloff next year. But there were two guys that were running in the Superstock last year that, you know, that aren't there anymore. You know, they're either Superbike or rolled down.
Yeah, but
into
you had
Supersport.
A bunch of Supersport guys that moved up last year. Bobby Fong,
right.
Heron and Eslick,
right.
And I think Taylor Knapp ran Supersport last year.
Right.
And the four of them all moved up.
Yeah, Superstock's a tough series to run. But Supersport, I've always thought the Supersport was the more interesting to watch, me personally.
Yeah. You know, but I just thought, I'm not sure who Valentin Debies is. Am I saying that right?
Yes. Debiese? Yes, Valentin Debies, right.
Debies,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he seems to be having a good season.
Mm-hmm. At least he's had a couple good stops now. A
couple good stops now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it looks like Gerloff is kind of dominating that series.
Oh, he's been on it pretty much every race. I mean, it's still early in the season, but he's looking awful strong.
And then we had Superbike.
Yeah, Superbike Superstock 1000.
Right. And unfortunately for the sport, Tony Elias is kind of punted now that he's got a contract.
It's just
What is up with that?
It's just really weird, but it's you know, we have our own theories which we're not going to voice on the show.
We're not?
I don't think it's
We don't want Phil to voice him.
Okay, yeah, we don't want me to voice him.
Right.
On the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So if you want to, Ken, go right ahead.
He did have two thirds this week.
Yes.
Yeah, he had two thirds, and that's not how things started before he signed a contract, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he came over first two races, he won both of them.
First three, that's right.
And you know, yeah.
Then he signed a contract. Then he crashed.
Then he signed a contract. He hasn't won since he signed a contract.
Right. It's like now if you're Yoshimura Suzuki, you got to be thinking like, why did we sign this guy?
Yeah. And worse than that is that
they let Jake Lewis go to
both the Suzukis looked fast in the beginning of the season, and now they've just got him back into the same place
right,
they were
back
before.
Back into Yamaha's bitch.
Yeah. Right.
And I mean that's kind of what
understand.
It looks like.
You know, nothing. What's changed to cause that? I mean,
you know, either. Yamaha was sandbagging the first few race stops, or the riders were. But I mean, even Roger Hayden was more competitive in the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
and I mean they're racing each other at the beginning of the season, not the Yamahas, right?
Yeah,
and then you got to feel bad for
Josh Herron. Yeah,
on the Superstock, he's out there leading the Superbike race, mm-hmm. and then he wipes it.
Yep.
You know, and all I saw on Twitter was, oh, this must be a Moto 2 race. And
yeah.
I was like,
yep.
And it wasn't even coming from me. And I was like, oh.
And the commentators did say a few times, this is the best track for Superstock to really shine against the big bike.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah, I do. I actually do tend to agree with that track because that track, the layout of that track is, keeps the, super bikes from being able to stretch really easy because you come up on turns pretty quickly on that, so you don't get the long extended straightaways that you have.
Oh,
on
so
there.
They didn't run the full track.
I don't think they ran the full track. I don't think they.
All right, because I wasn't.
They did
sure.
when we were there last year. So
yeah, that's true.
Well, because Heron was in that first race, he was dead on it. He was passing him when he needed to, and he was. Yeah. Fully competing.
Yeah, there wasn't enough opportunities to stretch the field out.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking. They didn't run the full. They ran the 2.25.
Right.
What they call the North Course.
Right. All right. Which is what they ran last year when we were there.
Yeah, okay. All right, because I was going to say, down to Oak Tree, there's no way that's a good track for them.
Right. But in the short track, definitely it gives them an advantage because they don't have the opportunity to stretch it out. So that works good for this Superstock, which it did for a while until he wrecked.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because he was, you know, that first part, I mean, he was just all over all of them. He was just,
yeah.
He looked like he was riding the same bikes they were.
Because the advantage, some of the advantages you get on the super bikes over the super stock bikes, you don't get to really tap into that advantage at the, you know, on that 2.2 mile course.
Right.
You know, the North Course just doesn't have those long stretched out straightaways. So, anyways,
all right. Should we go silly season or World Superbike?
Well, let's. We want to make sure we get
both
in.
5 minutes.
Well, then let's do World Superbike real quick.
All right, World Superbike, World Supersport. Good race. Everything was wet. It was just a wet weekend.
It was a very, very wet weekend.
I mean, like World Super Sport.
Apparently, it's raining everywhere.
The whole world's raining. It's right. Like that movie, Day After Tomorrow. Right. We're all going to die, stuff like that. Very wet race there.
One dry race. Well, we'll talk about that.
You know, all right. Well, let's you know, we don't have a lot of time. Let's jump into Super Spike. Because that's what
okay.
We're here for.
Well, we could talk Super Sport real quick and just say that to me, it was another disappointing race for me.
It kind of was for me too.
Yeah.
While he looked better and he stayed up.
Yeah, and he led for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It all went away in the end of the race.
And there was kind of a surprise winner, which was Badovini won, but. Kara Rudin, I guess is how you say it.
Yeah, the Malaysian rider, right?
The Malaysian rider had...
Kara Dean,
that's right. Had a really huge race for his home track.
Yeah, kind of heartbreaking because...
Yeah.
Because he was
works for the track. He was in the lead and it gets passed.
At the very end.
At the very, like two turns to go.
Yeah, right.
So that kind of sucked. Going over to World Superbike, kind of shocking. Race one...
Was dry.
And was, race dry, was dry. And that really wasn't that shocking. Tom Sykes won.
Right.
Rea was second.
Well, it's not even fair to say Tom Sykes won. He was the first rider ever to win by more than a second at that track in World Superbike. And they've only been there four times. I guess it was the third or fourth.
Yeah.
Which means he should have won the second race.
He won by what? Like 5.5 seconds?
Yeah, he was gone.
He was gone.
Yeah, 5.6 seconds over Rea.
Yeah, right, yeah. I mean, there was just nothing going on.
And Rea and Davies rounded out the podium, which right. I don't think is a surprise to anyone. Those three on
no,
the podium.
It's been those three. Well,
any order could work.
Yeah, not so much Sykes on top, not the way it's been going.
Not the
this
way
is
it's
only
been
a second
going.
Win, right?
Until the second race.
Until the second race.
And then
the
reality came in.
A monsoon came in.
Yeah, it was exceptionally wet.
Like the one in Karate Kid 2.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, they had the little Oriental kid ringing the bell in the tower.
Right.
It was a mess. And this guy jumped out, and he was really old, so he's been around since the Noah's floods.
Yeah, right.
And I think the best line I heard was somebody asked Roger Hayden how his brother did while they were at the Moto America race in the autograph session, and he said he won, and the kid said, "I almost said, you mean, I know, I meant Nicky."
Yeah, right.
But Nicky Hayden, out of nowhere, comes out, gets the lead early, and kind of stays there.
Yeah, and controlled the pace of the race. He got, you know, he was losing time at the end, but he managed the pace really well, which I think that's sort of a sign of a really, you know, a strong journeyman racer. He raced as hard as he had to not destroy his tires and to manage the lead, and he did.
And he got his win.
And nobody really challenged him.
Yeah, no. I didn't think Nicky Hayden would win a race this year. I said I thought he'd hit a podium.
No, this is his second
podium and his first race win.
Right, I predicted Vandermark would win before him.
Yeah.
So
we're all kind of wrong on that. Listen, we got about a minute as the music goes mm-hmm. out. So let's talk Vinales to Yamaha. Done deal.
Yep.
Pedrosa stays at Honda.
Yep.
Done deal. Crazy Joe to Suzuki.
Yep.
Will be announced shortly. Dovi did this morning signed a deal with Ducati to stay. And the other rumor for the Suzuki bikes. Ken, guess.
Well, we got Crazy Joe on one.
I'll give you a hint. Moto 2 rider.
Yeah. Zarco.
No.
Moto 2 rider?
Yep. Moto 2 rider to Suzuki. What you guess?
Got to be Rins.
Yep.
Yeah. Rumor mill is saying it's going to be Rins, even though Honda and Yamaha both want Rins. They think.
Well,
that,
we'll see. I'm going to still say Zarco because he's got a ties to Suzuki, so we'll see.
But he's French and he's quit and he's not having a good season.
What's Suzuki?
That's so wrong. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Unless Superman beats us up.